Scripture passage for this morning comes from 1 Peter 1, 13 to 2, 3. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners, here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave purified spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Blessings to you, Steve, as you share on pursuing holiness.
So is anyone here holy? That's a tough question, isn't it? Shelby made a great introduction for us, just for us to remember the set apartness and the holiness of God. And so for us to consider ourselves holy just doesn't seem like in any way we can measure up to God. But yet in Scripture, including the Scripture we have this morning, we're reminded by many, be holy, God says, as I am holy. Peter here challenges us towards holiness. And I think it's helpful for us to remember that as we think about being holy and we think about God being set apart and being holy beyond us, yet to be holy also means to be set apart for God, to become more and more blameless, more and more pure, so that we can be worthy instruments of God. Like in the temple, they used to have certain elements of their worship set aside just for that holy purpose, and actually going through this kind of cleansing kind of rituals so that they were holy instruments for the worship of God. Think about how you might set aside your best china in the hutch and only pull it out for the special occasions or special guests. So maybe it helps to think about this morning pursuing holiness, have a pursuit in our lives to be more and more worthy of God and worthy of his service. And again, I think that's what Peter's challenging us to. And I also believe that Peter challenges us in this scripture to pursue holiness as a response to the living hope that he's given us. If you remember, he starts out this letter just before this passage by saying, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy upon us, he's given us new birth into this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus and into this inheritance that'll never perish, never spoil, never fade away, kept in heaven for you. And in the meantime, we're being shielded by God's power for that inheritance." Because of that hope that we look towards and that we're living into day by day, Peter says, pursue holiness as you live in that hope. It seems to me another response to knowing this hope that awaits us could be to relax or to become complacent. You know, it's done, now I can enjoy the rest of the weekend. And sometimes Christians are accused of that, or we can feel that conviction that we become spiritually lazy or complacent because our eternity, our eternal destiny is secured, and we'll just kind of ride it out. And so some, it might cause us to be unconcerned about our conduct before God, or we might not be very concerned about how we're treating others in our relationship, or how we're treating the creation, how we're treating kittens that are homeless, how we're treating the immigrant and foreigner in our midst, and all of our neighbors. And so here Peter says, don't become complacent in that hope, but rather live with this urgent pursuit of holiness in your life. Jesus, in one of his parables, when he's talking about being ready, the owner is away, but you, his servants, be ready for his return. He says, be dressed for service, lamps burning. Be ready, be persistent for the Lord's return. Or later on in 1 Peter, in the 5th chapter, Peter's going to say, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking to those whom he may devour. And so Paul, Peter, in verse 13, the first verse here says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace that's going to be brought to you when Jesus comes back. Have minds that are alert and be fully disciplined, or be fully sober. April and I have been on the go a lot lately. We've been really transient. We were at the church retreat, but then in the middle of that, we went back towards my home area, and we're there a couple days, and every two or three days I was going back there. And so in our house, it seems, for days I was looking at my duffel bag that I just dropped there in the living room. And we had mail and we had papers all over our kitchen. Other bags, boxes that were to be put away. And I know, at least for me, and I have to say most of this was my stuff, so don't pull April into this. But at a certain point I said, I'm tired of looking at all this stuff. It's time to clean it up. You know, in my mind, finally I came to this point, there needs to be a purifying or a cleansing of this house. I was involved with Celebrate Recovery, a 12-step program in the Birdsboro area in recent years. And that, like Peter's saying here, that the Celebrate Recovery, any 12-step program, is all about coming to this understanding in our mind that things have to change, to set our minds into action towards something different. Admitting that I have become powerless over my addictions and over these hurts and habits and hang-ups of my life. And it's time to turn my eyes towards this God who has the power to change my life. And then through the 12 step, to continually be alert and prepared to look at the people and the places and the habits of my life and how I need to walk in a different direction. So Peter challenges, first of all, to it starts in our mind, minds that are fully alert. Literally says, gird up the loins of your mind. And that's just Bible talk for back in the day when they had robes and they needed to go into action. They'd, in whatever way, cinch them up, tie them off so that they could move more freely. Rolling up your sleeves. When this sermon heats up, to take off my jacket, so I can be more fully engaged. All those kinds of things, symbolically of becoming more fully alert and engaged and disciplined. And so it starts in the mind, but then Peter challenges us towards this pursuit of holiness in our conduct. Don't fall back into your old patterns of living that you used to live. I don't know if any of you watched The Chosen, this TV series about the life of Jesus. Really appreciate it. And as they have the story of Jesus unfold, they fill in the gaps that aren't right there in Scripture. And so one of the episodes had Mary Magdalene, who had been freed from demons and had turned from her old life and is now following Jesus. But in one episode, she falls back into her old ways. And Peter and Matthew, I think, go into town to draw her back to Jesus. And she does, and she's restored and forgiven and welcomed and all that. But I thought that was helpful, a reminder to us that all of us can fall back into our old ways, all of us, or even to fall into new patterns that are unholy or aren't pleasing to God. But Peter challenges us to be holy in all of our conduct, to be holy in everything that we do. And that word for there means an upturning. There's a turning upward of our thoughts in our mind and then subsequently an upturning in our action towards that which is holy and pure and blameless before God as the Holy Spirit's at work in us. So all throughout Scripture, we have this call for the people of God to turn and to live holy lives before God, because God has rescued us or saved us or called us as his very own. Just a couple examples of that. Isaiah says, "There will be a highway called the way of holiness. The unclean won't travel on it, only those who walk in the way of God." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, "Therefore, beloved, since you have these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles our body and our spirit, and let's perfect holiness in our lives in the fear of God." John says, "Everyone who has this hope will purify himself or herself, just as Christ is pure." James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good conduct, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." And then finally, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey." So a call for the people who received the promises and the welcome of God. Purify yourself. And why do we do that? We do it because we're called by a holy God. The one who called you is holy, Peter says. And so be holy before him. And so Peter goes on to say in verse 17, and I'm just following right along here in this passage if you have your Bibles with you, but in verse 17, Peter goes on to say, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear of God." And so Peter's already introduced us to a God of great mercy. In his mercy for us, he sent Jesus and given us this living hope. But this is also a God who judges, the one who is our impartial judge. And so Peter's introducing us to the fullness of who God is. And in all these ways, it calls us to live into the hope that we have because of his mercy for us and because of his holiness as we live in reverent fear of him. Isaiah said as he met God in a vision, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips," and was called towards holiness and service in that encounter. David says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything offensive in me and lead me in the way of everlasting life." So there's this prompting in our heart as we meet God to pursue holiness. But Peter also gives another reason that in our hearts we would pursue holiness. And I want to keep reading here in verse 18 and following. And just as I'm reading this, listen for how's Peter trying to call us and challenge us and encourage us towards holiness. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so you have faith and hope in God. And in verse 23, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So Peter's reminding his readers that our salvation was bought at a great cost. It came to us by grace through the precious blood of Christ. It wasn't by silver or gold or anything else that we are right. We know him and we love him, but it's through the precious blood of Christ. And he talks about this unfolding eternal story. You know, even before the creation of the world, this Jesus was assigned to come and be our Redeemer. And you're invited to be part of that eternal story, which you're called into a life and a kingdom that represents eternal things and not just the futile ways of this earth. And so see yourself as entering into that holiness and live it out. If you had an experience where a rescue worker saved your life, you know, pulled you out of a burning car or in whatever way, at great cost to that rescue worker, to her health or even to her life, you'd come away with a new appreciation of the value of life. And I doubt that you'd any longer live a life of worthlessness or living your whole day in a bathrobe watching Jerry Springer, you know, eating candy and things like that. But you'd see your life as having just great worth. You've been rescued at a great cost, and so there's much to live for, especially when you've been saved by this glorious God. And so Peter's challenging us, don't choose this perishable life that's empty and futile and temporary. And I'd just like to read this story or as illustration that N.T. Wright gives that I think really illustrates this point that Peter's making. Suppose you go into a junk shop and you find a cracked bowl. It's still dirty with soil and the remains of a few leaves. You spot that it's a fine piece of porcelain. And you buy it, you take it home, you clean it up, and you repair the crack. And when it's done, you put it in a place of honor where it holds three gorgeous ornamental eggs. And it shows them off to perfect effect. Now suppose the original owner goes back to the store owner, the junk shop, and asks for the bowl back to hold a few artificial flowers. The shop owner might direct him to you, but you, perfectly properly, would say that the bowl is no longer available. Not only have you bought it, but you've cleaned it inside and out and given it a new use for which it was really suited. It would be an insult as well as an injustice to the bowl to use it again to hold a few artificial flowers. The good news is that we are like that bowl. We have been bought back like a dirty object in a junk shop. We have all been used for all kinds of purposes other than those for which we were made. But God has come into that junk shop and has paid the ultimate price for us, the precious blood of the Messiah, God's own Son. Remind yourself of that and don't let any previous owners come and try to force you back into the use you once had. Or don't let anyone come and force you to conform to any other uses that don't fit the glory of God for your life. Find that to be a great challenge for my life. And so just want to close with this, the one application that Peter gives. If this is your life now, living into the hope that you have, rid yourself of all malice or of ugly thoughts towards others, of hatred. Rid yourself of deceit. Rid yourself of hypocrisy. Rid yourself of envy or petty jealousy. Rid yourself of slander and words that kill and destroy other people. Get rid of those things, but rather love each other deeply from the heart. And that the idea of loving each other deeply is to love strenuously, or it literally has this meaning of being taught. Like, I was going to bring one of my exercise bands and stretch it all the way out. It takes great effort not to just go partway or halfway, but to pull that all the way out. It takes a lot of effort often to love others deeply from the heart in all circumstances. But there's great power in that. And that's what Peter's calling us to rid ourselves of all those futile ways of living and treating each other, but to love each other, all people from the heart. And so, as we think about pursuing holiness, and as we go from here and as you go into your lives this week, think for yourself, when you think about pursuing holiness in your own life, which words better describe you? Is there an urgency or a persistence in pursuing holiness? Or does it feel more like a complacency? And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. And Peter closes this section just with these words. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. And I'd like to challenge us to taste that the Lord is good, that the Holy Spirit might give us an appetite towards that which is holy in our lives. So with that in mind, let's pray together. God, holy God, we are promised living hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we live each day, may that lead us towards the pursuit of holiness. We pray that you give us an appetite, a hunger deep within us for righteousness and for holiness. Lord, would you purify our hearts? Would you allow us to taste that the Lord is good? Would you work in us that we become more and more holy, even as you are holy, God? Lord, purify our hearts. Amen.